Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hi, y'all. I'm Julie.
Hi there. I'm Brenda. Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side.
Now, y'all need to know that we're obsessed with everything on the other side.
Yes, we are. Because once you learn to navigate the energetic, or to some, the invisible world, life is going to be more fun and much more serene.
Heck yes, it can. Because let's be honest, Bryn, Earth School is hard. In fact, you taught me that.
Let's crush Earth School together.
Well, hello, my witchy poo. How in the world are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good. I just ate, so I won't be hangry.
And what keto delight did you have?
Oh, okay. That's a good question. This is for you keto folks, or just the, you know, those that don't want to eat sugar. I had a yogurt called Too Good, T-W-O, good, with some blackberries and some cashews.
That sounds yummy.
Yeah.
I like it.
So not only I won't be hangry, I'm happy.
A happy elf is a good elf. Yay.
That's right. That's right. Which kind of weirdly falls in line with what we want to talk about today.
Life's
because we talk
purpose.
About life's purpose.
We're throwing it down. We're going big.
We are throwing it down. We really are. We probably had more prep time talking about this episode because
we care so much about this.
Yeah, we do. And part of our purpose also is to take care of ourselves. So that's why eating foods that make you feel good and you feel good about, you know, that's part of being human. So
exactly.
I just connected it. How do you like that?
Just like the very nicely done. Very
right?
Nicely done.
Thank you.
It all matters. It all matters.
There's a particular author that you and I have either read or listened to his books.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet many of you out there have also done the same, but mm-hmm. we're going to bring him back today in spirit form. not in spirit form. But we're going to just talk about him. That was weird. Because I have to be careful what you say on this podcast. Because people are like, wait a second. You're going to talk to a dead person. Wait, Mitch Albom isn't dead. What do you mean?
He is not dead.
I just started out super confusing. But we're going to talk about Mitch Albom. And Mitch is the one who wrote Tuesdays with Maury.
Mm-hmm.
He also wrote The Five People You Meet in Heaven. Another one called For One More Day. Which I just have to say, that one reminds me so much of Mona.
Mm.
Because she talked about when you actually spoke to her that first time, I mean, it's been 10 years ago, she said, you have no idea what one more day on the earth could have meant for me. And every time, of course you don't, because you were, you know, doing your woo-woo shit. You were there, but not there. But anytime I hear one more day, because she said that, she was like, the things I needed to get done that I couldn't get done. And when needed one more day.
There was a lot for her, too.
Yeah, she had a lot of undone stuff.
She was a busy girl.
Anyway, he also wrote For One More Day. Mm. He wrote The Timekeeper, and then he wrote The Next Person You Meet in Heaven. And out of all of these books, one of them is actually a true story. The rest of them, he will tell you, they're fiction.
Mm-hmm.
The nonfiction is Tuesdays with Maury, which made him famous. And the funny thing about it is, I think it's a lovely book. It's weirdly my least favorite because of these other stories. I think are so powerful and really make you think about your life's purpose.
Yeah, and I think it's a different genre, right? He was really more of a journalist for that story as opposed to creating from within.
Right. And I think that's why I love so much about it, because a really great story, and we've talked a lot about this when we talked about different books that we love or different movies you haven't seen or can't remember. But we always talk about how really great storytelling is when the reader, the viewer, the listener forgets about the story and they see themselves like it's a mirror. And I think that Mitch Albom's work, it's like his cover should be a mirror. And we really thought to our dear audience that with what's going on in the world, dealing with a global pandemic and everything that comes with it, you know, it's a good time. And I know everybody wants to know, what is my purpose? What am I doing here? Because even if you thought you knew what it was before, it might not feel like that today.
I think as a reader, that is one thing that I would say more than ever, people are almost panicked about. What is my life? Can you tell me what my life purpose is? Because I don't know if it's the pandemic that brought it into focus for people, or time where they couldn't engage with the rest of the world and had to really look at themselves. I don't know. But this question is asked with such urgency, and I would also say a little bit of fear. Like,
for sure.
I know I'm not doing it because I would feel different if I was. And I really think it's important that people realize that your purpose isn't a specific activity. Now, it doesn't mean you won't have that moment that says, I was made to do this. This is fantastic. Like, I'm in my lane. I can feel it. This is awesome. But it really is, who am I going to be across these different activities, across these phases of life? Who is the bigger focus that I would really want people to be invited into?
And to know that not everything, how we measure ourselves, has to be grandiose. And that's one of the problems I think that we're dealing with. So whether it is people getting shook by a pandemic, or we have images of who we think we need to be because of reality TV, because of social media, whatever it may be, people are creating these mental models now about my purpose. Here's what I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm meant to do. And it's all grand in nature, and which is why I love Mitch's work so much, is that it takes it down to this, and I don't want to say basic, because that sounds like it's insulting, because it's not basic. But it takes it down to actually an important level about who we are. And it's about how we treat people. It's about how we look at the world. It's about how we look at ourselves. It's not about being on a poster or a billboard or YouTube or anything like that.
It's like when you do past life regressions and everyone's Cleopatra. You're like, really? You know?
Seriously, I dug ditches, man. I can guarantee you. I can promise you, I dug ditches. I've cleaned dishes. I have served.
In this life.
Seriously, well, true, me too. But it's also, again, not about what you do, your occupation. And I think that's another thing that really throws people.
It's who you are as you do your occupation.
And do you mind telling everybody, because you brought up such a great business example of what this is from a personal. Do you mind sharing that? Because I love it. I love everything you say for the most part. I can't say everything, that's true, but most part I can.
How you do what you do matters is the short version. But the first time a teacher taught me this was not a spiritual teacher. It was a professor in business school, in undergrad. I remember what building I was in, but I don't remember what class he taught. That he was like, look, you're going to end up leading people. You're going to end up having influence up and down the food chain. You'll influence your leadership by what you know on the front line. When you first land there, you'll influence your team, you'll influence your peers. You have accountability and responsibility. He said, you have to lead each day as though everything you do is going to end up on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. And in his mind, that was the moral compass, right? So it really stuck with me as a standard to think about, not so much about the Wall Street Journal, but really inviting us as human beings who will make decisions for others to have a moral compass. And that was
ethics. That is a major ethics lesson, right?
And it was not an ethics class. Like, you didn't get that till more senior classes, but it was such a beautiful thing, and very simple in the business world to think of it that way. But if you could think your whole life that way, whatever your standard is, whatever your Bible is, it's, you know, the Kardashians, whatever, you know?
I mean, I don't want to diss them terribly, but I will. But no, it's more about what has been created that people now is a benchmark. And I think that is the problem. It's like, you don't have to think that needs to be your life.
And being able to discern external standards versus your own.
Right.
And, you know, both are important, but you have to have your own to navigate Earth School, really.
And this is what I love so much about these books on the personal level. So we're going to take a quick break and we're going to be right back. And I know Brenda just shit her pants, everybody. So, you know, she can't believe I actually said, let's take a break. All right, we'll be right back.
Hello from Switzerland.
Canada, actually.
And we know that the world's best roasters use the Swiss water process.
That's us.
Other roasters use solvents.
AKA chemicals.
To remove the caffeine.
But the Swiss water process
uses only water to remove caffeine.
So your fourth cup tastes just as good as your first.
Yeah, it's caffeine perfection.
You're Canadian, Doug.
I know. It's just great decaf.
Ready to try delicious decaf? Click or visit ChooseSwissWater.com to learn more.
Good Risings. I'm Jacqueline Wood, co-host of the Good Risings podcast, Grateful Grains. Good Risings is a collection of 6 mini shows curated to give you a daily shot of inspiration, motivation, humor, relationship advice, and even astrology. You can curate your own morning routine by listening to one or all of the daily Good Risings offerings available in our feed. It's the perfect daily practice for anyone looking to lead a more intentional, mindful, and inspired life. Join us for just a few minutes every morning as we explore a wide variety of topics affecting our health and wellness. Listen to Good Risings on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
And welcome back.
And we're back. Oh, wait, no, you did that. I'm just kidding. Because since I brought us out, I wanted just to mess with you for a minute just to make you feel crazy. That was my attempt. I think it worked. Everybody needs to know I am literally here to entertain in life. That is my God. When we talk about what is our life's purpose, I believe one of mine is to keep you entertained.
Definitely keep me on my toes. I was like, wait, what? Didn't I just do that?
That was so much fun.
Oh my God.
So back to Mitch. Hey, man, if you can't talk about life's lessons without giggling, you got no business with me.
You're missing the point.
I have one of his books I'm holding in my hand. And this was the latest one that I read, which is The Next Person You Meet in Heaven. But I say latest, it was 3 years ago. And I picked up this book at O'Hare Airport. And I was in Chicago. I had just done an interview with the local Fox station for my book. And I was back at O'Hare and I was heading to New York for the latter part of the book tour. That's when we did all the stuff with Elvis Duran and Ryan Seacrest. It was like a kind of a big week. And so that moment was a big moment of transformation for me. And so when I talk about how I've reached out, and it's funny, it's a pattern now. It wasn't intentional until I really saw it yesterday or 2 days ago. That when these big moments happen in my life, I reach for his work. So I just think that's a really interesting thing. When I picked it up at O'Hare, I'm sitting on the plane. I was in business class for the record because I use my own upgrades. So I have my big comfy seat and I'm flying to New York and I pop open this book. It's about a 2.5 hour flight, maybe 3, if you consider like takeoff and landing to be technical. And I read this from cover to cover on that flight alone. And toward the end of the flight, I was crying so heavy and so hard. And we all know I'm an airplane crier.
Yes,
like
you
have established that.
That's your thing.
This was intense though. This was like sobbing where the flight attendant was trying to calm me down. I mean, I wasn't throwing a fit. I wasn't even doing like a loud cry. I was just like a mess. Like you could tell by looking at me, it was like something was going on. And something was going on because I was transforming. And this was a very humbling, I think, book for me to read when I was actually out promoting my own book, because you can let ego and photo flashes and interviews and all that kind of stuff. A normal person could let that get to them. But when you're not a normal person and you reach out for something like this and you cry your way to probably one of the most exciting weeks of your like life, this is a very humbling thing, which is probably why I picked it up. So I'm going to read really quickly to everybody what Amy Tan, who is the author of The Joy Luck Club, actually wrote, her praise for this book. She goes, "This is the fable you will devour when you fall in love. This is the tale you will keep by your side when you are lost. This is the story you will turn to again and again because it possesses the rare magic to let you see yourself in the world anew. This book is a gift to the soul." I mean, come the fuck on. Who doesn't want to read it now? And what I'm also going to do is I'll try to read through this fairly quickly, but just to give those a perspective of what this particular book is about. In this book, Eddie, a grizzled war veteran turned amusement park mechanic, dies saving a young girl named Annie from a tragic accident. But in this, as the novel opens, Annie is marrying a guy named Paulo, and her wedding night ends in an unimaginable tragedy. Annie is whisked into her own heavenly journey and into an inevitable reunion with Eddie, one of 5 people who will show her earthly life touched in other ways that could not have been fathomed. we all get people who want to know, what is my purpose? Am I doing enough? And so on and so forth. Or you get people who will prioritize certain things over others. Like, for instance, people like to prioritize intelligence over kindness.
Oh, yeah. And power and money.
Yes.
And physical attractiveness over
right.
character.
Right. Character over kindness, over anything that's soft, let's say. And when I think about, like, in the neighborhood where I grew up, there were some very gentle, and they were primarily women, but very gentle women that they, what they did is they cared for others, whether their own kids or other adults or other what it is. It's like they didn't have to be the Kardashians. They were very content and knowing that they were serving or doing their duty by caring and being kind to others. You know, the story of, and I think we've all read it, and it could be an urban legend at this point, maybe it is, but it is of the young man going home, and he was actually going home to commit suicide. But it was a neighbor who walked out and waved and said, "Hey, how you doing?" That made him rethink what he was going to do. What if that man's purpose, who said, "Hey, how you doing," was to save that other young man? So when we think about our lives and we think about what we do and how we touch others and affect others and how they influence us, and just when you start putting some of the pieces together, we really start to understand we don't have one purpose, and it's not just a career. And I'm going to say one more thing, because you've been so graciously quiet. I'm sure there's lots of things you want to say, but I will tell you, we've talked about my friend, Dr. Cindy Ray. Mm. And Cindy was killed in the middle of the freeway, practically, in Detroit. And she had pulled over one Sunday morning to help a car that had kind of flipped on its side. A young man who was driving his family to church lost control and hit Cindy, and she jumped about 3 days later. But before that happened with Cindy, and I know I've told this story, but it fits in this so nicely. I saw her maybe a year prior, or maybe 6 months in LA. We had dinner together with our friend Alan and Suzanne, so the four of us. And Cindy said to me, she goes, "Rieger, can I talk to you for a moment?" I'm like, "Sure." And we sat down and she goes, "I just need to tell you something." And our friend Cindy Naylor had passed when we were in high school. And she said to me, she goes, "How did you know to be so kind to me when Christy died?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "When we got that call at your mom's house that Cindy passed, you sat there, you held my hand." And she goes, "I never felt that much caring from somebody before in my life. And it has translated over to how I care for my patients." So your kindness in 1986 made the biggest difference for every patient that I have had in my career. And I'm not trying to make myself out to be some awesome human, but it's like, those aren't actions that you think about in advance, like, "Well, what is this going to mean to Cindy when we become adults?" P.S. I never thought Cindy would be a doctor in the first place, so I'll just be honest with you. You don't think about those things in the moment because, you know, then everybody would do a bunch of fake kindness. But it was like, one is I dealt with loss early in life. I was 13 when my dad died. I knew what that pain felt like. And it was actually Tammy Reese who taught me how to care for someone else, right? Mm-hmm. To pass along kind of thing. And so I'm telling her this story and she goes, "I had no idea how things go backwards," right? Like the origin of why that is. Yeah. But the point of me even sharing this is if that were the only reason I existed on the planet, it was worth it. Mm-hmm. That is a really great life's purpose. If what my one act of kindness to this person who healed thousands made her a better doctor, like, I hope that's what I see the five people that I get to meet in heaven. I hope that it's her patients that say, "Oh my God, because of you, Dr. Ray treated me in a way that, you know." But these are the things, right? Like, these are the stories that matter, whether you have your own or you read them in a Mitch Albom book. But these are the things that count. Yeah. Now I'll stop talking and let you talk, because all I've done is like, I've diarrhea of the mouth this episode.
No, I mean,
not unusual.
This is the power of these stories, right? The reflection. It's my belief and understanding that we meet more than five people in heaven.
Of course.
I just don't call it a record.
Thank you for correcting a best-selling author who sold 39 million books that you think it should be more than five.
Now, that was his story, and it's a great story. But I just want to remind people that the smallest exchange can make the biggest difference. And if you haven't had the experience of extraordinary kindness, or in my vernacular, the archetype of the great mother in your neighborhood, taking care of others or looking out for you, it is really hard to do that naturally. You have to reach for that within yourselves because we're all hardwired for it, but it doesn't always get activated. And when you're running late or you're annoyed by something else or someone was rude to you, it's really hard to switch. And this book can be that inspiration and that memory of, wait, there's another move to make. Because it's not only how you're creating karma, because that's part of it, but it really is about how we are all connected. And we will talk about that when we come back from this break.
Awesome.
Hi, I'm Sam Rappaport, host of Earning It, a new podcast featuring women breaking the NFL's grass ceilings from the field to the front office. I'm a former professional quarterback who dreamed of creating a pipeline to bring smart football minds into the game.
I went to Darcy and said, look, I'd like to hire two coaches who happen to be female. She said, heck yeah, go for it.
It's not like I'm doing this to bust up the good old boys club.
They just happen to be women.
When you're looking to hire the best people, maybe if you're opening up the pool to everybody, you're getting even more exceptional people.
This story will be told by NFL head coaches, owners, and of course, the women themselves. And we'll even go deep with Commissioner Roger Goodell. Jane emailed the whole iHeart team being like, Sam wants to know if she could curse. I'm like, I'm a football player.
I didn't curse once, did I?
Listen to Earning It, the NFL's forward progress on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I want to get back to being in my community group.
I want to continue having a soccer season.
So I can throw parties again.
So I can go to her parties.
It'd really be nice to dine in instead of getting delivery for a change.
So I can feel safe and protected for myself and my students.
We each have our own reason for why we're getting vaccinated against COVID-19. What will yours be? Visit getvaccineanswers.org for information on the COVID-19 vaccines. It's up to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
And welcome back from our break. And I wanted to, you know, just spend time thinking about our interconnectedness in this next segment, because to me, that is the takeaway of all this. We have such limited understanding. You know, we think about the main players in our lives. Obviously, they're where we spend most of our focus. But these smaller streams that feed into the main river of our life are critical. And I think you have a story about that.
I do, because I think one of the beauties of living this type of life, meaning the type of life where I really strive to pay attention, I want to understand. I want to understand my lessons. I want to understand how I am shifting and moving. I want to know when I'm sliding backwards so I can climb my way back. So part of the beauty of paying attention is to being very thoughtful about everything, even things that we've talked about that might seem mundane, but they're not mundane. And as I was kind of preparing for this, Suki walked up to me and I looked at her and I said, don't worry, baby, I'm going to talk about you. And here's what it is. So she goes with me everywhere. So she's in the car with me. And I can tell you that there have been dozens of times where I have noticed my driving because my dog is with me, because I want to protect her. Mm-hmm. She is probably, I don't know if she saved my life. I don't know if she has made it to where I didn't cause an altercation or whatever it may be. But I'm telling you, I am, and I'm not even a bad driver, but like when you said, when we get triggered by stuff, mm-hmm. I'm very much triggered by bad drivers because I'm a good one. Instead of flipping somebody off or screaming or doing a whatever, I actually don't, because she's in the car with me and I want to protect her. Mm-hmm. And I know that might sound ridiculous, but it is one of those things that I wouldn't be surprised if that was one of the things that I learned about, right? Because that's also the fun about being alive and knowing we have these lessons and knowing that we have, like, all these things are intertwined and how we're all connected and all these, that it's like, I wonder if that will be it. I wonder if this will be one. I wonder if that will be one. Odds are none of them will.
True. And there's also a flip side to it, that when someone does something that's, you know, crappy or intentionally or otherwise, you can also understand, like, I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to settle any score here. that's already taken care of.
Yeah, your maker will settle that score, my friend.
Yeah, and you can just give yourself a hall pass karmically, energetically, not be distracted and swirl on it for weeks or years. Because we do, we spin out over stuff. It's like, mm-hmm. No, it doesn't matter. I can let it go today.
And think about all the life you get back by not swirling and twirling and stewing.
Exactly.
Stewing is one of my favorite words because I think I like stew. It's probably why I like this chunky. Stew is chunky and hearty.
And it's turned cold. It's turned cold.
And is it right? Stew sounds actually really good, even though I ate before this. But you're right. When you think about it's like all that time I spent swirling and stewing and knowing that everything will work the way it's supposed to. We actually had my high school boyfriend, John, and his husband, Joey. It's my favorite sentence in the world to say. They are real estate agents here in Northwest Arkansas. And he called and said, oh, there's a guy that wants to, you know, buy a house, a modern home in your neighborhood. Can we come see it? I'm like, fine, it's fine. Because whatever happens, happens kind of thing. So he does. He loves the house, whatever. But the point is, I didn't think about it again, really. It's like, this is like, it's more about, the universe is going to do what the universe is going to do. And being neutral about certain things is a super duper healthy place when it comes to some of this. Yes. So being neutral about when you've been done wrong, that my story was not about being done wrong. My story is just about like, it happens, you know,
yeah.
Instead of stewing and twirling and thinking about, well, what if it happens or if it doesn't happen, how do I, it's like, I don't give a shit. It's like, if the universe wants us to stay here, we'll stay. The universe wants us to go, we'll go. And so you kind of just leave things in those hands so you don't stew. Because the time I would have wasted 10 years ago twirling about something like that, I would have wasted weeks and energy and I would have missed out on other things.
The opportunity cost, right? So if that energy is engaged, twirling about something you can't control anyhow, it's such a reality check that says, where am I going to put my energy? How do I want to do what I do? Who do I want to be as I'm doing this? Who do I want to be for myself and for others to create an experience? Like this is the invitation. Always in front of you, every moment of every day.
And if you need to be inspired, read Mitch Albom's books, particularly The Five People You Meet in Heaven, and then read The Next Person You Meet in Heaven, because it is, you know, part one, part two. The first one I read was The Five People You Meet in Heaven, and that was after I lost Mom and Mona. And I needed to grieve and know that they were someplace else. Like that was part of my process.
Yeah. You read it on vacation, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Mexico.
Oh.
It was after Aunt Figures. It was Aunt Marlene, yeah. Actually. Thank you for reminding me. But yeah, that was an Aunt Marlene move. And how do you remember this shit? Well done. That's impressive. I bet you can't tell me what you ate for breakfast, but you remember when I read that damn book. And then, you know, reading on my book tour about just transformation. And then recently, it's a double header, right? It's a double header of kind of post Suzanne's cancer and like looking at the world different. So it's every time I need to look at the world different. Mm-hmm. Is when I turn to it. So I'm encouraging others, if you need an impetus, if you need that spark,
if you're in that Earth School is hard phase, you know, it's like, Earth School sucks today. And other times it's like dark night of the soul that goes on for days, months.
Right.
And, you know, right. This is a great reset.
It is. And again, in the middle of a pandemic, it's a really great reset to think about what we deal with day in and day out being in the world. It's like, let me just hit the reset button. Let me like go back to what's important, because what's important in the world truly is the matters of the heart. Mm-hmm. And that's what this gets. Had.
And how you do what you do.
Yeah. Gosh, I could have kept going on and on about this, but I think we've actually run out of time. Here's what I would love from our listeners. Let us know what it is you're dealing with. Just share with us, because you guys are so great just about sharing your stories. Because sometimes it helps just like typing it out to somebody, knowing that they're going to read it. It just might make you feel better. So you can send it to us. And here's the thing, Suzanne will definitely read it. That woman loves your stories more than anybody, guys.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Your notes, everything.
And just let us know how you are reconsidering some of the connections that you've had. Again, to those great stories that draw us in, we listen autobiographically. So how did this illuminate and reflect your experience?
Yeah, and these are fables. Some would say the stories in the Bible are fables because they want to make you think. Don't get pissed if you think everything's literal. So I'm very sorry if I hurt anybody's feelings. Didn't mean to do that, but it has been said that they are fables. This is a fable to help you think through who you are.
Yeah.
It's a mirror. Anyway, enjoy what you see. Each of you are extraordinary. And needed, absolutely needed, because you wouldn't be here if you weren't supposed to. Nobody's here by accident. So know that as you walk through each day.
Thanks for listening, everyone. And remember, our school is hard.
Without the other side. And those 5+ people you'll meet when you go to heaven.
Or more.
Or more. Thanks, everybody. You're hilarious.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. And a special thanks to our producer, Alejandra Arevalo, and our executive producer, Maya Cole Howard, who guides us while we guide you.
Hit us up on Instagram at OtherSideGuides or shoot us a note at OtherSideGuides@iHeartRadio.com. And you can even call us at 833-22-GUIDE to leave us a message.
We want to know what you think. We want to know what you know. And we want to hear your stories.
And remember,
Earth School is hard.
Without the other side. Insider's Guide to the Other Side is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.